Let's start with that story then. Fancy a 33% increase in your salary. One way could be by getting a job in the public sector. Those new figures that reveal workers there earn nearly a third more than their private sector counterparts. Former NHPSA Deputy General Secretary Bumper Graham is with us. Good morning to you, Bumper.
Morning, Vinny.
And businessman and NI Conservative member Frank Shivers. Good morning to you, Frank.
Morning, Vinny. Morning, Bumper.
So again, these numbers, the average worker, public sector, 625 per week compared to 479. And again, these are averages in the private sector. It seems like quite a big gap, Frank Shivers.
It's a massive gap. And especially when you consider the disproportionate of public service workers that we have in Northern Ireland in comparison to other regions in the UK. It's a massive drain. And something needs to be done, and we've been calling, you know, the business community have been calling for something to be done on it for a long time, especially when you consider that those salaries that are paid to the public sector worker are from the businesses and the people working in the private sector paying their tax that fund the government.
Okay.
Well, pay for the public sector.
Why then, Frank Shivers, why instead of attacking those in the public sector, what they pay, why not look at the private sector and say, let's bring that up instead of bringing the other one down?
Because there's a reality, there's a cost reality of what you can pay. The private sector have to go by what the market forces. They can only charge what people will pay for their product. And the reality is people want reduced priced goods, they want quality, they want and that goes through the P&L, and you can only pay the workers and salaries what you can pay on the profit that you've driven.
Bumper?
Well, clearly, Frank is still living in that old Tory land of the reducer.
Well, it's a lot better place than Bumperland.
Well, no, Bumperland's a real place. You want to bring everybody down rather than trying to lift people up. You know, the facts are that the public sector in Northern Ireland sustains our economy. It is public sector workers who are spending much more in the local economy. And if you bring their pay down, then your much beloved private sector, mainly made up of small and medium companies, will lose out massively. The other aspect of this is as well is that the public sector in Northern Ireland employs everybody from administrative assistants right through to zoologists. Our health service, our doctors, our nurses, our teachers, police, they are all in the public service, and they rightfully, by and large, earn the same as their colleagues in the rest of the UK. Now, does Frank Shivers want to support Boris and not only have a border down the Irish Sea for trade, but a border down the Irish Sea for the pay of public...
Answer me this, Bumper, then. Do you think that our reliance on the public sector for well-paid jobs, is that a good thing for our economy, the fact that it takes up such a big percentage?
No, it's not a good thing for our economy. And part of the problem here lies with the Industrial Development Board and now its successor, Invest Northern Ireland, who have been outselling Northern Ireland for this last 30, 40 years on the global market as a low-wage economy. So, you know, we provide...
Is that fair?
Northern Ireland,
outselling as a low-wage economy? Is that really fair? Some would say, well, you're just describing attracting business here in a different way.
No, what I'm saying is that the people in Northern Ireland deserve decent wages. Our public servants, not all of them get the same as our colleagues in the rest of the UK. That's why we have a current dispute in the health service, where the first time ever the Royal College of Nurses is actually out campaigning for industrial action.
Just you mentioned across the water, these are stats.
Let me ask you this, Vinny. Why should somebody in the BBC in Belfast earn less than somebody doing the exact same job in the BBC in Bristol?
That's not for me to answer, but just going at stats, you mentioned in terms of the difference between here and across the water, the average, this is of 2018, the average weekly public sector earning across the water was £599. So that's actually lower than it is here. So if you work in the public sector in Northern Ireland, your average earning per week is higher.
That's not true. Those figures are distorted by a number of variables, such as the fact that many parts of the public sector, particularly in England and Wales, have been privatised out of the public sector, and those jobs are being done on the cheap in the private sector, whereas here we've managed to retain most of that work within our public services.
03030805555. There's an article online from John Campbell on the BBC News, the app and website, of course, and it says he's referring to wages in Northern Ireland. He says the typical weekly pay rose, this is an average across the board, from 528 to 535. This is the fourth increase in earnings in the past 5 years, bringing them close to 2009 levels in real terms. And when you think about that...
Vinny, that's not true for the public sector.
True because it doesn't suit your argument, Funder.
The private sector pay has been growing in Northern Ireland, but still the public sector pay is well below inflation, and likes a civil service.
Okay, I get the point you're trying to make, but to be fair to John Campbell and this article, if you let me read it, typical weekly earnings for full-time employees in Northern Ireland increased by 1.2% in real terms over the past year.
Now, 1.2% is below inflation.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that, but if you let me get to the end of my point, Bumper, and you can then come back on that. So my point is, he's now saying that this is us getting close to levels of 2009. So in terms of austerity, as you listen this morning, what did it mean for you? That's 10 years to get us almost back to where we were. And do you now, in 2019, when you hear of that slight increase, do you feel better off? Do you feel like the grip of austerity is loosening? 03030805555. Bumper, you want it back in there?
Yeah, certainly the grip on austerity is not loosening. We know that Frank and his mates in the Tory party are going to campaign in this election if they can get past their bigoted Brexit nonsense about keeping us in austerity, keeping wages low, reducing welfare benefits, etc. So for the ordinary working people, be they in employment or out of employment, certainly things haven't changed in this last decade. Whilst costs have gone up, services have diminished. We've seen increasing costs, particularly in housing, etc., where people can't get mortgages, and where we've got the biggest housing waiting list for over 50 years in Northern Ireland.
Sorry, Bunder. Well, first of all, let's stick to the point, and we're talking about wages, public sector v private sector, but just bring in that point. There was more mortgages in the last year than has been in proportionate going forward than there has been in the last 5 years. New people bringing on and getting mortgages. So that,
but still not compared to what it was before the crash.
Listen, let's stick to the point, and we'll talk about private sector pay and public sector pay. And public
If you and your cohorts in the private sector paid your workers.
Okay, Bumper, let's let him make his point. Frank.
Thank you, Vinny. So, you know, the fact that remains, and it works out about over the UK about 10% better off working in the public sector than the private sector. And that's taking in everything and in relation to accounting for so-called workers' characteristics, okay? So the public sector is about 4%, but it actually works out about 10% when you take into account the total package, where you have, on average, you know, the increase in holidays, flexible work, not a long working week. There's all sorts of added benefits, additional pension contributions. So, you know, don't get me wrong, I don't blame public sector workers for wanting to go in there. They've job security, they've got great benefits. Fair play to them. People have got to seek work where they think is going to be best advantageous to them. But it's not fair that people in the private sector have to pay taxes and whatnot to fund that. It's just not fair.
Public servants don't pay the same taxes.
But where is their salaries generated? That's the whole point that you miss, Bunter, and people in your circle miss this. The public sector workers' pay, whether it be in any public sector pay or employment, the money is generated from taxes from the private sector.
It's certainly not paid for by corporate Northern Ireland.
Frank Shivers, many of the lowest paid occupations. One second, please, Bumper. Frank Shivers, many of the lowest paid occupations, such as hospitality and retail, they exist almost exclusively in the private sector. So surely, is that not maybe an area where we should be looking at trying to address that, trying to increase the salary that people earn there?
And if you look in the last 10 years under Conservative government, the basic minimum wage has been raised by about 33% to try and address that. Now there's a long way to go. Don't get me wrong. There's a long way to go. There's also a cut in taxes where you don't pay any income tax until you get to the £12,500 threshold. So you know there is steps being taken to address that from the lower paid workers. As I say, we've a long, long way to go. And I've said on the show previously, as a public, as a private employer, I want to pay my staff as much as I possibly can. But we are, unfortunately, unlike the public sector, driven by commercial commercial finances. We can't overspend. We go bust. We don't go to the government cap in hand and say, oh, we need another 10 million because we've spent that.
And Bumper? Frank continues to support further damage to the economy by supporting the mad Boris's Brexit plan, which will ensure
that... You keep making that point. You keep making that point, Bumper, and I understand why you're doing that, but in terms of the pay and that disparity, that difference between public and private, you can't label all that at Boris Johnson's feet. For example, the gap between the earnings was 41% in 2014. So that it is decreasing. It is going...
The gap is closing, yes.
Yes.
And what Bunter is saying is that in the UK, we've got 17.4 bigoted, bonkers people who supported Brexit.
Well, the people of Northern Ireland didn't support Brexit.
No, but the people of the UK, 17-odd million, you're saying they're bonkers and they're bigoted?
Some of them did.
Yes, they are, because they're...
0-30-30-80-55-55. John, good morning to you. First call of the day.
Good morning. Listen, as a private businessman, if I have to run my business like some of the public sector businesses, I'd be out of business in a month.
What do you mean?
100%.
I've been out of business. I've had recent dealings with public sector over this past number of years, and the amount of wastage, mismanagement, and I'll give you an example.
Give a specific example, because if I don't have the stats to back it up on air...
I'm going
to
give you the example that you give us on the radio.
Okay.
A number of weeks ago, the Northern Ireland House Executive spent over £350,000 maintaining a piece of property that they realised after they'd spent the money, they didn't even own it.
Well, Bumper, that's one example from John there.
There are many
people that will draw similar comparisons and say that the management structure, there are issues within the public sector that, if addressed, could make it more cost effective.
Well, we can all quote examples. I could quote you right now the recent collapse of Thomas Cook, its bosses earned millions. I could quote you much closer to home, Rightbus, that was getting money from the government but give £15 million away to a church. So, the private sector has as many, if not more, questions to ask.
You're missing the point. The whole key is in the name, private sector.
I can't go to the government.
Privately earn your money. You go out and you invest your money in a business. If you make profit, you can do, within reason, you can do what you like with that profit, because
it's not
owned by the public.
John, what do you do for a living? Can I ask what you're...
welfare from government here than anywhere else in the UK.
John, can I ask what you do? What is your business?
Business.
And how difficult is it to make ends meet and to make a profit?
Well, I can't go to my bank manager and ask for an overdraft if I don't make a profit. So I have to make a profit. It's as simple as that. Things aren't too bad. But you're always on a knife edge. But there's no.
What do you mean by that?
There's no cushion.
You're always
in
a
cushion. There's no cushion. I can't. I have to make my business work. If it doesn't work, it's gone.
So you say a knife edge. Are you talking about basically there's no window?
Being self-employed, there's no certainty.
A couple of weeks, a month of bad work or no work.
Sure, any business. To me, any business, 2 or 3 months, and you couldn't survive. But there's no cushion. It's very easy for somebody to say, come on and portray the public that they've got a big, big cushion. And the cushion's always there because taxpayers pay for it.
Bumper?
But John, we've seen for this last number of years many thousands of jobs being lost in the public sector, and we're still seeing jobs being lost in the public sector today because of the impact of Tory cuts. And that is not just damaging the public sector, but it's damaging the whole of Northern Ireland because there's less money
in
the economy.
But Bumper, you just said previously there that we have a disproportionate of people employed in the public sector, which is not a good thing.
I didn't say that. What I said was, and if you're going to quote me, at least be accurate, Frank, what I said was that I would want to see the private sector pay brought up to public sector levels.
Okay, John, thank you. Jared in Belfast next. Good morning, Jared.
How are you doing there? I just want to say that we don't, our department, our wages, the way they talk about people going up spines, our department, the money doesn't go up spines, you just stay on the lower. When you get promoted, you stay on the bottom spine and you stay there for the whole time. They say that you go up spines in my department, you don't. You stay on the bottom scale. Plus, you lose out on 2 days' leave as well.
So you work in the public sector yourself?
I do, yeah.
When was your last pay rise, Jared?
Well, I got a back pay of £80 there.
You got
for 4 months.
A back pay of £80, and that was in a form of a bonus or an increase?
Well, yeah, that was my pay raise, £80.
And that confirms the point that public sector pay in Northern Ireland is being held back whilst the private sector pay continues to grow.
I guess that does put it in context, Frank Shivers. You know, there's a perception sometimes that if you're in the public sector, it's all very cushy, your job for life and everything is fantastic, and it's just not always the case.
And I would agree with that. And I mean, obviously, you know, in the public sector, there is lower pay, sort of admin assistance and whatnot, as there is in every organisation. But generally, I know a lot of civil servants, it's not a cushy job. They do, you know, they work hard. They want to do the best for their communities and in the job that they're doing in public service. Our nurses, our doctors, you know, firemen, the whole lot do a fantastic job. However, what we've got to do in Northern Ireland, we have a massive disproportionate of public sector workers in comparison to all the other regions in the UK, and we need to address that. And the only way to address it is with a strong, thriving public private economy that generates wealth. And with that, you know, I find it difficult to get really good people. So in the private sector, what we tend to do is go, right, I can't get anybody who I really want. So you generally, the first thing I'll do is put the salary up to attract a wider, a wider pool of talented people.
So you'll increase the salary. Well, that's a slight contradiction into what we're seeing here, that average wage, 625 a week, compared to private 479.
It's distorted by the fact that we have a lot of hospitality workers, which would tend to be basic minimum wage plus tips type scenario. So, you know, there is an anomaly in Northern Ireland in relation to the private sector and the type of people that are employed in the private sector.
Okay, next call.
What I want to see as a business person,
okay,
in Northern Ireland is bigger, better and bigger jobs in Northern Ireland, where bigger companies come and they pay bigger salaries and we can have a better public service.
Noel in Belfast. Good morning, Noel.
Good morning, Johnny. It's just a wee question for Bumper concerning...
Bumper. His name's Bumper. I think Frank's been calling him all sorts this morning, but it's Bumper Graham.
I know.
Just a question concerning how payoffs from the civil servants to the redundancy payments, and then they get reinstated again within a short period of time, right?
Well, let's address that first point, Noel. So, Bumper, you heard that point from him there, being given a redundancy payment and then being brought back in and paid.
Well, you will find, Noel, that it was the unions who were opposing, first of all, the redundancy scheme, and secondly, then the waste and abuse of public money by doing that, because the jobs were still needed, but the civil service and other parts of the public service introduced, at the behest of the last Stormont executive, who got £200 million.
But does that happen, Bumper? Is that not against the rules, then? You can have a redundancy payment leave and then come back in a paid role. There's no time restrictions.
These people were then going and working for private sector agencies, and that's how government sought to argue a way around it. And as you know, I've been arguing that the Stormont agreement, where they used £200 million to put people out of work, would have been better used paying £200 million to get both private and public sectors into good work.
Well, there you go, Noel.
Well, how come they can employ private sector workers to go in and do the same job that he's already been paid out, been made a redundancy payment on it?
I assume you mean public sector.
How can they pay them on, give them a big redundancy, and then bring them back on the public sector and say, right, carry on as normal? You know, it's not logical. It's not fair on people who are trying to get...
That is not the fault of the workers or the trade unions. That is the fault of our absentee well-paid MLAs, for allowing that to happen and for borrowing the $200 million in the first place. And if we really want to talk about public sector workers that don't deserve to be paid, then all of the MLAs currently don't deserve to be getting a penny because they're not doing their job.
In your opinion, Northern Ireland also slipped back down the UK pay charts. I'm reading still from John Campbell's article here, to second from the bottom. So in the entire UK, Northern Ireland pay charts, they're second from the bottom, only above the northeast of England. That's not the most pleasant thing to read, Frank Shivers.
No, and we should be ashamed of that as a region. But I often disagree with Bumper. But
you work in the private sector.
No, I do 100% agree with.
So what can you do? I know you're one person, one man, but instead of like looking at the other side of the fence and saying we're just doing what they do, what can you do, for example, or other businessmen and women in the private sector do to try and move us up those charts?
Well, I think every business person who has their own business in Northern Ireland is doing the most that they can do. And, you know, you look at conditions of pay and hours and how much a person who owns a company is being paid. I can tell you there's a lot of months that I would work well over the working time directive and be underpaid by basic minimum wage. Now, the counter argument is there's some months that I would earn quite well. But what most businesses, and I would argue all businesses in Northern Ireland are doing, is they're trying to build, to get busier, to get better, to increase their customer base, to increase their staff.
Increase their profit.
The more staff you have, the more...
Increase their profit as well, Frank.
Sorry?
Increase their profit, of course, as well.
Of course, increase. Because you know what? If there's no profit, there's no tax paid. If there's no tax paid, there's no public service. There's no NHS. There's no schools. There's
yes,
no
but
housing.
My point is, let's not suggest that every business out there is trying to increase the salary of everyone that works for them. Their primary objective quite often is to make as much profit as possible.
Absolutely. And that's okay. The difference between the private sector and the public sector.
Okay.
Any private company that's not trying to make profit needs to go into the social enterprise or the public service.
Okay. Michael and Finicky. Good morning, Michael.
I'd just like to say, strategically, Northern Ireland doesn't really have an economy. Decade after decade, it gets a massive subvention from the British Exchequer to make the books balance. So you can nearly argue that money that's going into Northern Ireland, that's what props up the big pay packets relative to the private workers in the civil services and in the public sector. But here's the rub. We have invested in AI. Now, what have they done? Not enough by far. And they put millions in the rate bus. And the year they were putting it in, same money was coming out of rate bus.
Well, nobody is here from that organisation to respond to that.
Forget about them then.
No, I'm not saying to forget about them. I'm saying let's not make assumptions and put points to them that we can't ask them to respond to.
But it's on public record that Invest Northern Ireland was pouring money into Right Bus, and at the same time Right Bus was making millions of pounds in donations.
I'm not disputing any of that. My point is they're not here to defend themselves. This report also...
It's indefensible to be on the one hand having the corporate begging board and at the same time giving £15 million away to a particular charity church that the bosses of that company had a vested interest in.
One positive thing, Bumper Graham, that can come out of this report, it highlights the fact that Northern Ireland is the only region in the UK where full-time female workers earn more per hour on average than full-time male workers. I say positive. Many will look at that as a way of trying to correct the gender pay gap.
Well, to some degree, it is positive, but I wouldn't overplay it too much. We have more likelihood of equal pay in the public sector, but where we still continue to have a problem in the public sector, as indeed in the private sector in Northern Ireland, is getting more women in the top jobs.
Brian and Glengormley. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Donna. I would like to make a point there to Bumper. Up to now, the debate seems to have been around wages. I think we're forgetting one very other important point is the conditions that they get, as in holiday pay and holiday sick pay and holidays off, etc. And, you know, that's a big attraction for many people who would normally go into the private sector are saying to themselves, well, I might as well go into the public sector. And
there's a couple of reasons for that, Brian. First of all, thankfully...
Hold on, I'm not funny. Look, I'm going to tell you, I'm a former shop steward. I know the way you think. You know what I mean? When I look back at some of the strokes we pulled.
Okay, you're putting a point to him there. So let's finish the point and let Bumper respond.
Okay, I'm going to finish the point. I remember a certain instance where he's praising this Corbyn government now, which is basically a communist regime, talking about a £10 minimum wage.
It's not a Corbyn government yet, of course. Who knows if it will be? We'll find out in December.
But let me finish. If I'm on £10 an hour at the moment, and the Labour government introduces a £10 an hour minimum, do you think I'm not going to ask for £12? Because I'm obviously getting the £10 on merit. So inflation will go through the roof, and that'll actually end up more people actually losing their jobs.
Okay, Bumper, there's a few points in there. Let's start off with holiday and sick pay, that perception that if you're in the public sector, it's pretty much easy street, lots of holiday and lots of pay when you're off sick.
It's certainly not easy street, but the reason for it is that the public sector has a good representation of trade unions fighting the battles on behalf of the workers. Unfortunately, in Northern Ireland, with most of our companies being small and medium-sized, the number of people in trade unions is much less. And, you know, it comes back to the point I think you made at the outset to Frank. You know, do we want to bring standards down or do we want to improve standards? And could I say to Brian as well, Boris Johnson and his team were the ones, in order to try to buy votes, are the ones who have been saying that they will introduce a minimum wage of £10. I would want to see a proper living wage being introduced, which would be
higher than that. They've introduced an increase of 33%. Over the past number of years, basic minimum wage.
You know, the living wage is it used to be the national minimum wage, and then the Tories thought they would try and dress it up and make it sound less difficult by calling it the living wage.
Okay. Ian, thank you very much. So we are talking about that 33% difference in terms of the public and private sector pay. New stats out, the average wage for public sector in Northern Ireland is £625 a week compared to £479 in the private sector. Again, they are averages. Frank Shivers and Bumper Graham are with us. Let's go back to the phones, though. Michael in Belfast. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Vinny.
You're Michael, I'm Vinny.
I have a couple of points for Frank.
Well, Frank is there.
The first point is, good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Michael.
The first point is, if I could just make it, is if the public sector doesn't set contracts in Northern Ireland, the private sector doesn't work. So in many ways, the private sector has a lot to thank the public sector for in terms of big contracts. Second point I would like to make is, and I trust you're in good health, but if you had the misfortune of having to go in for surgery and you were lying there in the operating theatre and you looked up at the surgeon, would the first thought in your mind be, how much are you earning? Or would you be grateful for the skills base that man or woman has to restore your health?
The first point I will give you, yes, we are, the private sector is very much reliant on the public sector in Northern Ireland. And I did say that, you know, that was a problem and that needed rebalanced. And we've talked about that for decades. And consecutive Stormont and governments have said that they're going to readdress it. And there was money given, £750 million was given to try and readdress that. And there's a number of agencies working to attract foreign investment and that type of thing. Now, they're not doing as much as what they could do. But I'll give you the first point is certainly a given. We are, the private sector, to a large extent, is very much aligned to the public sector in Northern Ireland, unfortunately.
I also know that the price the public sector pay in a lot of contracts is quite high.
I would argue that. I don't have a lot of dealings with public sector contracts. What I would say is that the people that I do know have to jump through a lot of hoops, have a lot of red tape, have a lot of costs, have a lot of additional costs, and quite often are waiting for money to be transferred over. So I don't think it's all rosy in the garden.
No, but of course, costs, red tape and stuff like that would also apply to much in the public sector as well, Frank Shivers. Let's go to Ian in Belfast. Good morning, Ian. You've got a point for Bumper.
Yeah. I've got a couple. Well, the first one is, and I know he'll poo-poo this, but you could make a profit pretty quickly in the public sector or make it more streamlined if stroke of a pen, you cut, for instance, the sickness. There's a guy on earlier about the sickness benefits. And he might say it's hearsay, but believe me, I've worked in a couple of jobs in it, and the sickness pay is abused enormously.
But people do get
sick. 6 months full sick pay and 6 months half.
Well, is that accurate, Bumper? I have no idea.
Oh, I know it is.
Some parts of the public sector it is, and other parts it isn't. Some parts of the public sector you have to build up over 4 or 5 years your entitlement to full sick pay.
No, well, the jobs I wasn't even straight into it, and it is abused, believe me, with golfing weeks and stuff during the summer and different things.
Again, I know when I was an official of NIPSMA, I know that my former colleagues are still trying to do this across the public sector. We're trying to get public sector employers to engage with us, particularly to look at how we resolve the problems and issues in and around mental health in the workplace, which accounts for almost 50%, but trying to get the employers to be positive and proactive with us has always proven to be very difficult.
Okay, let's go to Malachy Turner next. Yeah. Malachy, good morning to you.
Yeah, Bumper land is cuckoo land. You see, what he doesn't understand is, you know, there's twice as many civil servants here as there is in any other part of the UK, and the boys are right about the sick pay. If they had statutory sick pay, they wouldn't take as much sick. It amazes me how, you know, in your programme, I think last year, I was on argument.
But Malachy, even just addressing that, so I understand the point you're making regarding sick pay, but should we look at it as a negative if someone is genuinely ill and the facility is there where they work for them to take time off to get better?
No, you're misunderstanding the point. A civil servant, if he has 28 days sick pay, he gets sick for 28 days. It amazes me.
But you're tarring everyone with the same brush and saying people abuse the system. But is it not a positive thing for that to be there if you do get unwell and you need to take sick leave? You get paid for it instead of being told, look, you're not getting anything beyond your stat pay.
Well, I've worked in the private sector. I've worked in the private sector my whole life. You know, in your programme itself, you know, last year, £31 million pounds paid out to civil servants in Northern Ireland only for sick pay. The good thing about them from a private sector point of view, they prop up a lot of golf clubs, and, you know, they get holidays to prop up the airlines, and, you know, they spend money in dinners when they're not doing nothing.
Can I just double check, Malachy, that figure, that 31 million, I have a terrible memory. Where are you getting that from?
31 million paid out to the private sector in Northern Ireland. I think it was in 2016, 2017. £31 million on private sector, on public sector sick pay in Northern Ireland.
Now, we'll check that, RN, because I don't remember that. I'm not saying it's not accurate, but go ahead, Malachy. Right.
But the point is, you know, because of their sick pay, they get cheap airline flights, they get their own golf clubs all the time. You know what I mean? There's
fantasy land do you live in, Malachy?
Well, I've been told in my ear in terms of fantasy land, Bumper Graham, that figure of 31 million is actually accurate. That was 2016, Gareth.
Malachy has just said, Vinny, that sick public servants
this year, sorry,
keep airline flights. He's in cloud cuckoo land.
So that's inaccurate, you're saying?
Come on. Let me put it to you this way. Tell me this, Bumper. You know, you had the big thing up in Ballymena there 2 years ago when the tax was transferred to Wales. And in Ballymena County Hall, I think it was 360 people that were going to lose their jobs because of it. It ended up that it was transferred to Wales anyway. Tell me what private company could take 360 people and not one...
Okay, Malachy, we're jumping about from issue to issue here. You mentioned cheap flights. And what are you saying, that people that work in the public sector get reduced airfares?
No, because they're often sick so many times they can avail of all this.
Oh, right. Well, you're choosing your words very carefully, Malachy, to say if someone's off sick, they can pick when they fly, as opposed to being... It's not quite the same as saying you get discount flights. Malachy, thank you. Fred and Dramore next. Good morning, Fred.
Hello there. How are you doing this morning?
Not too bad. Go ahead.
Well, I have never worked in the public sector, but I had a friend who was middle management in a government department, a pen-pushing department. And because of those, those he was responsible for wouldn't do a reasonable day's work, and those he was responsible to wouldn't support him to make him do a reasonable day's work. And it got so much to him, I had to take early ferret and ill health at 47 years of age. That's one department. I have another friend who worked in another government department, and there had been big changes in that department.
You're tarring everybody then by being so general about that with the same brush. I am sure there are people within the private sector that swing the lead as well.
I'm sure, but it'll not be the bosses anyway. Anyhow, we'll move on to the next sector. Another department, government department, and I was friends with the person, and sadly just passed away a few years ago. And I said to one day, how's the department of XYZ doing? Oh, quite well, quite well. A 60% cut in staff would make no difference to output.
Bumper, again, it comes back to that perception. You know, I have no idea about the specifics that that caller is talking about, but the perception that if you're in the public sector, you don't do a lot.
Well, as I said in my opening comments, the public sector in Northern Ireland employs every type of person from an administrative assistant through to a zoologist. Many parts of our public service are working long hours, long shifts.
Yes, but do you accept that perception? Is there any accuracy in that, Bumper, that there are problems?
And he will expect, no doubt, Fred, in and around the bad roads of Dromore, he will expect public service workers...
Bumper, you're not asking, you're not addressing the question. And the question are there issues within the public sector in terms of staffing, production, productivity, sickness? Are there issues within that do not appear in the private sector?
I wouldn't say there are, but what I would say is in every employment, whether it be public or private sector, you can always look to improve and do things better, both private and public sector.
Okay, Stephen in Dungannon. Good morning to you, Stephen.
Hello, how you going, Vinny?
All right, go ahead.
I'll tell you what I wanted to say to you. You are talking about the private sector there. If I was off on my sick, I'd be lucky if I could get 50 quid a week. Very, very lucky. And another thing about it is we're in the haulage business. In Northern Ireland, they're crying out for men, and in England, it's the same. They're crying out for men, but they'll not pay the wages. If I was in the same wages that I was on in England, I'd be in about between £16 and £20 an hour, and I'm running about on £8 an hour less my tax.
It's a big difference.
And control of a 44-ton lorry, and in control of hydraulics and cranes and stuff like that there, because we're in the crane business, and... I have to go and do a course every year, and I have to do my CPCs. It cost me 250 quid. I have to go around and do my courses for my cranes and stuff that cost me a couple of hundred quid.
And you have to pay for that yourself?
Stand over it, you know. You have to pay for that all yourself.
Well, that's a disgrace, because that's a requirement of the job, and clearly your employer should be paying that.
You know, and we're on just the basic wage, and the sort of thing about it is, if you want it, you're there, and if you don't want it, tough.
Okay, Stephen, thank you. Last word on this to you, Frank Shivers. You've been quiet for a while there.
Vinny, we all need our public service workers, and I would argue that the majority of them do a fantastic job. And we do need a thriving public service and a thriving private sector. But what we really want from a private perspective is that the public sector being run more efficiently with you know, the value for money to taxpayers, and I think, you know, we all deserve that.
Okay, Frank Shivers, thank you very much. Bumper Graham, thank you.